Kristen, welcome.
Hi, Liz.
So individuals, groups, lots of smaller efforts have been dedicated to curbing this painkiller and heroin overdose epidemic. Some progress has been made, but hundreds of Rhode Islanders are still dying every year. Does a big government task force even have a chance of making a dent in this problem?
Well, I can tell you this. This task force is comprised of some nationally recognized researchers and clinicians, people like Dr. Tracy Green, an epidemiologist, who's been asked by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to advise them on new guidelines for prescribing addictive painkillers. Also, the group is diverse: insurers, hospitals, treatment program providers, pharmacists, community advocates. They're all at the table bringing their different perspectives. And finally, this task force has the blessing and the powers of the governor to change some regulations if necessary. That's different from previous efforts. So everyone I talked to seems pretty hopeful.
And they recommended four basic avenues of attack: getting Narcan, the overdose rescue drug, to anyone who might need it, expanding access to addiction treatment, and a couple of others. What part of these recommendations have been accomplished so far?
Well, there's a group working on preventing opioid addiction in the first place, and part of their plan is to educate more doctors about how to prescribe opioids safely and how to prescribe medications that help treat addicts, because we don't have enough of those doctors, according to this group. They're holding a training for doctors on the 23rd of January. They've also made plans to link Rhode Island's online prescription drug monitoring database to Massachusetts' database, and we're already linked to Connecticut, so that should help dissuade people who doctor or pharmacy shop, as it's called, across state lines.
Kristen Gourlay, going back to Narcan again for a moment, and again, that's the rescue drug for people experiencing an overdose. It's an injection in the muscle or a nasal spray, and in seconds, it can bring someone who's overdosed essentially back to life. Mm-hmm. But there's not enough of it available in the state right now. What is happening with the supply?
This is a dilemma. There is no single pot of money for buying Narcan for Rhode Island. There are a few small groups that distribute it for free, but, you know, they're getting donations and discounts. One of them is the PONY program, or Preventing Overdose and Naloxone Intervention. Some emergency departments distribute it, but not all. Anyone can buy Narcan at the pharmacy now, but it's a prescription for yourself, maybe covered by your insurance or paid out of pocket. Could be as much as $15. But Elizabeth, consider this. The person who's overdosing isn't always going to be able to use that Narcan to revive him or herself. A friend or a family member or passerby will have to do it. And there's been some question about whether pharmacies will give a prescription to what they call a third party. So state officials want to fix this issue, maybe by tweaking a regulation. And they want to distribute kits to the highest risk populations. Those are people who are being discharged from the emergency department after an overdose, people being discharged from jail, or who are in an opioid treatment program, people at risk of relapse. And how to pay for it, that's the question. Insurance, will they accept Medicaid reimbursement? Open questions.
What about, Kristen, the Department of Corrections? They've been giving out Narcan too, right?
Right. A group called Protect Families First and PONY, the organization I just mentioned, have been providing training for inmates and soon probationers on how to recognize an overdose and use Narcan, and asking them if they want a kit. And a lot of people have been taking them up on it. But they're at kind of a standstill for the moment. And advocates tell me they're going to need even more kits this year than they did last year. The Department of Corrections has an even bigger dilemma. Their supply of Narcan, what they've been using to hand out to these trainees, is going to expire in March, meaning the medication expires. And they have no budget for Narcan. The state's Department of Behavioral Health may have some grant money to buy new kits for them. And that's critical, because people leaving prison are at higher risk of overdose than almost anyone else.
So it sounds like there's a lot of activity happening to fix regulations, propose legislation, mobilize advocates around this problem of opioid addiction and overdose. We have just about a minute left, Kristen. What else is in this mix of interventions?
Well, a team of nearly five people has been hired by the health department to manage this program, the overdose prevention program. That's a sign, I think, of how seriously they're taking this problem. Their positions are mainly federally funded. We got a grant for this. One new hire's job will just be to visit doctors and educate them about safe painkiller prescribing so people don't get hooked in the first place. Also, lots of doctors are signing up for this upcoming training about prescribing drugs like Suboxone or methadone. These are medications that can help opioid addicts. You know, those are people addicted to heroin or maybe OxyContin, for example, stay sober. And soon, the General Assembly will look at some of the group's recommendations and figure out if there's anything they need to do to make them stick or work better from a legislative standpoint.
Okay, Kristen, thanks for the update.
Sure.
Kristen Gourlay covers healthcare for Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm News Director Elizabeth Harrison. You can find our continuing coverage of the state's opioid overdose and addiction crisis on our website, ripr.org.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.